On today's episode number 774 of Into Your Head podcast, tons of crap, stuff about cats in barn black factories, how to send a cat to a census office with a ham and why you might need to do the same, and lots more. Oh, and it's not a rerun. Absolutely fucking fantastic. Hello. Lot to get on with today. Items that need to be attended to, issues that need to be addressed, topics. We've got lots and lots of topics. We're positively booming to the seams with topics. We've got topics coming out of wherever this is. What's this? Oh, this is a bag full of other bags. It's a multi-purpose reusable Juco Ladybird shopping bag from Tesco. That's basically a bag for one of these bags for lives that they dupe you into purchasing when you go shopping. Now you go in, they say, are you planning on living for much longer? And you say, yes, I am. Yes, I certainly am. I certainly hope so anyway. And they'll say, oh, well, you should buy a bag for life then, because as long as you don't die in the next 3 days, it'll practically pay for itself in 3 days. And then after 3 days, you can just die if you want, and you'll still have made a profit on your investment. So then you say, well, I don't really want one because I have several of these already. And they'll say, yes, but did you remember to bring them with you? And I'll say, yes, I did remember to bring them with me, but then I decided against it because I thought I've too much to carry already. I have to carry all these fucking groceries home. I'm not going to be fucking carrying a load of bags as well. And they'll say, ah, well, luckily we have them on sale here, so why don't you buy a brand new one, and when it wears out you can bring it back and we'll exchange it free for a new one. And I'll say, could I not do the same with the ones I already have at home? Exchange them for new ones. And they'll say, no, because A, they haven't worn out yet, and B, you haven't brought them with you to exchange today, so you need to buy a new one. And I'll say, oh, for fuck's sake, Jesus, holy mother of Christ on a popsicle stick. And they'll say, would you mind not using that language of us, sir? We're not used to that sort of language around here, even though your brother happens to work in a branch of this supermarket. He probably swears as well as you, because he has the same jeans. He has the same jeans as you, although he tends to dress a bit better. He doesn't even wear jeans very often. He wears proper trouser wear when he goes to work, and even when he's not at work. My brother wears proper trouser wear, but apart from that, no. So anyway, we've a lot to get on with today. Items that need to be attended to, issues that need to be addressed, topics. Oh, and this isn't a rerun either. The previous episode that came out was a rerun, and I was perfectly honest about that. I put it in the show title. I said rerun in large block capital letters. So if you didn't look at the title and you thought, this sounds like a rerun, I wonder if there's some way I can check and see if I'm being duped with a rerun. Well, if you look at the fucking listing, the title of the fucking file said rerun in the thing. So don't be coming down on me with your crap whining about me putting out the same content more than once. If you haven't heard it before, it's new. And if you have heard it before, well, then you hear it again. There's nothing wrong with hearing the same thing twice. That's what I always say. Now, if it was a book, that would be an entirely different kettle of fish, because a book takes 8 weeks to read, and life is far too short to be spending 16 weeks of your life on an 8 week book. So if it was a book, I would say, no, don't listen to that book again, unless it's an audio book. You listen to half of that while you're asleep, so that's okay. But last one was a repeat. This isn't a repeat unless you're listening to it a year or two from now, when I happen to put it out as a repeat, which is entirely likely. But no, at the moment, as it stands, this isn't a repeat. I have put out repeats before that turned out to be ones that were already repeats, or they start with me saying this is a repeat or something, or they start with me saying this isn't a repeat, purely coincidental, not done intentionally. Usually if I put up a rerun, it's because I don't have time to do crap like listening to it to see what I say in it, so I just put it up without thinking. So you do me the courtesy of listening to it without thinking as well, and then we'll be what's that even mean? That doesn't even mean anything. Might as well have said pink the yellow dishwasher on top of the aerial under the roof and put it in the basement, and then feed it to your cat, and then send your cat along to the local hypermarket and tell him to get a bottle of Green Acre ham and tell him to bring that home, but not to your home, to somebody else's home, and say to them, will you cook this for me, and then fill out this census report, and then bring the census report along to the local government office just after the legal deadline, and then when they say, oh, this is too late, we can't accept this, you say to them, well, do you want my census information or not? You say you don't want it now because it's slightly late. You're saying you don't need it after all, because if you're saying you won't accept it because it's too late, what you're saying is you can do without it and you never needed it at all. And then when your cat does that, tell him to come back and report back to you about it. He might as well have said that, but she didn't. He didn't. So that this isn't a rerun. At least this isn't a rerun of something you've said already. Maybe a rerun of something I've said already. We've already covered the fact that it's not. So let's not get bogged down in these minutiae. Let's not get bogged down in the minutiae of what happens with a podcast that has about 3 listeners anyway at the moment. Because I've been neglecting it. I've been neglecting this podcast. But don't worry, it's not going away. Into Your Head is going to be here forever. It's just not going to be every 5 minutes as it has been in other eras. So it's going to be here forever. It's going to be sitting here rotting on the internet in case anyone ever thinks of listening to it. It'll be here 200 years from now. Someone will come along and find this on archive.org, where I put most of the episodes, and they'll say, what's this? And then they'll listen to it and they'll say, it's some fella talking about cats and energy drinks, and I think it's a rerun, but I haven't heard it before, so it's not a rerun if I haven't heard it before. And then they'll listen to it, and then there'll be a new society based on all of the wisdom that comes out of this. So if you have anything you want me to tell the future world through this medium, let me know and I'll tell them, as long as I approve of the message that you're proposing. Anyway, suffice to say hello and welcome to the show.
Two cats walk into a barmbrack factory.
Do you have barmbrack abroad, you foreigners? I'm not sure. I should probably define it just in case. Our barmbrack is a type of fruit bread stroke cake that's normally eaten around Halloween. Usually has a cheap metal ring or something in it. And if you happen to come across the slice of barmbrack that has the ring in it, it traditionally means you're going to get married. It's also suspiciously similar to a hot cross bun, but just made in a different format. Hot cross bun being the Easter version, comes out at Easter. They have hot cross buns at Easter and barmbracks at Halloween. It's a bit like the way they now have Cadbury cream eggs at Easter and Cadbury scream eggs at Halloween. It's a bit like that, except they're being around a lot longer. The barmbrack is being around a lot longer, I can tell you, than Cadbury cream egg. It's being around probably for thousands of centuries. It was probably around in the early days, back before any of you Americans even had a country to call your own. We have history here in this country. Back hundreds of years ago, there was people knocking around in this country. They weren't called natives. No, it was us. We were here. Well, it was probably Celtics and Normans and all sorts of other things. I don't know. I don't remember the exact details from my history classes, but I'm pretty sure there were people here many thousands of years ago, long before any of you people were going around. I can tell you one thing. We didn't fucking come along in 1850 and say, oh, we've just discovered our country, or somebody else has just discovered a country. We're going to be a country now. No. We were there a long time before that. Way back and beyond. If you go, you foreigners in America probably don't understand the concept of time because you haven't been around long enough. America was only invented in 1895 or something. You may not realise before 1895 there were more years before. It's a bit like Fahrenheit versus Celsius. Those of us who use Fahrenheit think that 54 degrees or something is zero. We don't realise that there's numbers lower than 54 degrees. And then when you switch over to, is this making any sense? It probably isn't. There's a certain number of Fahrenheit that equates to zero Celsius. That's the point of the whole thing. And you Americans probably think of the space-time continuum like that. You think the year 1895... or whatever it was, is zero, and that there's no numbers before that. That's why you hear a lot of American mathematicians arguing that the number zero shouldn't exist at all, and that it's meaningless. They just say it should start at 1895, and any year before that should be called B, not BC, because it's not a religious thing. They should call it B, USA, or B, Civil War, or B, just be yourself. Be yourself, that's what they should call it. And then anything after that year should be called A, yourself. So be yourself and A yourself for after, something like that. I'm not prescribing the exact wording, it's just an idea. It's just an idea. I'm more of a general ideas man than an exact details man, so work out the detail. You're perfectly entitled to work out the details yourself. You're an independent country now. You should be working out the details by yourselves. You don't need me to prescribe it for you. Anyway, two cats walk into a barmbrack factory. One of the cats goes straight up to the barmbrack factory conveyor belt and starts grabbing at the barmbrack loaves going along the conveyor belt. And some man in a white hat and coat comes along and says, "Christ, a cat has touched the food. We're going to have to stop the production line and take everything off and clean everything and disinfect everything and then start from scratch again. Somebody catch that cat. Catch him. Get the cat warden." Is there such thing as a cat warden? There probably isn't. There's a dog warden, but you never hear about a cat warden. There's nobody available officially to round up cats and put them in a van and bring them somewhere. Well, for one thing, it's not. Well, you see, it's not illegal to be a cat who's out and about. It's illegal to be a dog who's out and about, out of control. You can arrest the dog for that. If a cat is out minding its own business, that's considered perfectly legal. And the reason why it's considered perfectly legal is because it is perfectly legal. A cat has legal rights. A cat has the freedom of the city and the countryside. A bit like what they give to Bono and to... for whoever comes visiting, former dignitaries from abroad and pop stars, they often come along to cities here and they give them the ceremonial freedom of the city. It's usually a big key. They give you a big key and they say, "This will get you in anywhere. If you want to get in through the castle gates that don't exist anymore, or if you want to just put it on a chain around your neck and say to the young people, 'I see you've all got gold jewellery and stuff.' Well, you don't have one of these, I can tell you. You don't have one of these, and I do, because I've achieved stuff in life. I've lived a bit. I can tell you, you won't be buying this, no matter what money you have. You won't be buying this. You have to earn this by being Bono, or by being Archbishop Desmond Tutu, or someone like that, someone of that status. They clear out the conveyor belt and the cat says, "Christ, you sure as hell know how to make a cat feel unwelcome." And the man behind the
white coat says, "I'm sorry about that. It's nothing personal. It's just that we have, there's a health and safety inspector comes in here from the government, and if they find that we've got cat hair on something, then they can shut us down, and we'll be in the newspapers. It'll be in the newspaper saying the Barnbrack place got shut down for a month. And I can tell you, if you're making seasonal baked goods and you're shut down for a month, that's your business, banjaxed until the next season, a year from now. So no offence, but fuck you." And the cat says, "Oh, none taken, none taken, but fuck you right back, and not in a good way." And the man behind the white coat says, "Touché." And the cat says, "No, it's not. This is my, this is all my own fur, I'll have you know." And the man behind the white coat says, "I think you should leave now. I think you should leave now." And the cat says, "Oh, that's original. I've never had that said to me before. Usually they say, usually they just say, shh, scram or something, or skuh, skuh, or they blow into something like this to go, except it's usually not a harmonica, it's their inhaler, because I've creeped up on them and given them a fright, and it's somebody who's got asthma or something, and they take out their inhaler and start puffing into it frantically like this. Why don't inhalers have a built-in harmonica? It could teach us a lot of kids who could use every frantic breath when they've got hay fever. They could use that to learn a musical instrument with no effort whatsoever, or give them a sense of purpose, and it would make them feel less frail and useless. Would that not be an idea? And the man behind the white coat says, "That probably would be an idea. Whether it's a good idea or a bad idea, I can't say, because I'm a frigging, well, for one thing, I've got more important things to worry about right now." And the cat says, "What could be more important than the health and artistic creation possibilities of our young people? Our children are the future, you know." And the man behind the white coat says, "Yes, I know, but at the moment I'm dealing with a health and safety issue that could put me out of business." And the cat says, "That's all you humans think about, business. Business this, business that. Let's all go watch the latest episode of The Apprentice. It's all about business. 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 Business is a load of bollocks." And the man behind the white coat says, "How dare you? How dare you use that say that disgusting thing to me, a man of business here. A man who is high standing in my local community and who contributes all of the seasonal confectionery items and baked goods to all of the local shops around here. Deliver them like clockwork at 6 o'clock every morning, ready to go, even though most of the shops aren't open or ready to take deliveries until about 8 a.m. So they usually sit outside the door of the shop waiting to be collected. There's a shop down the town here that shut down for good about 3 months ago, and they still get newspaper deliveries every morning sitting outside the front door. It's very interesting how these things work. Anyway, no, get out." And the cat says, "Okay, I know when I'm not wanted." And the man behind the white coat says, "Indeed you do, indeed you do, and a great night is had by all."
You're listening to
the Into Your Head podcast
from Ireland with your humble proprietor, Neil.
Follow Neil at twitter.com/intoyourheadpod and pretend to like him at facebook.com/intoyourheadpodcast.
Into your head.
Monkey nuts. That's what they call them. They call them big, steaming, shit-eating, piss-poiling, telephone almost charged-ing, what else? Harmonica sitting on the tabling, yellow high marker pen still working after all this time. They usually run out surprisingly quickly for me, but no, this one's been going for some time. Although now that I think about it, I haven't been using it lately. I don't even know whether it's still working. I should probably check now. I should probably do some fact checking to back up the content of this podcast. Oh, look, it is working. And now I've, for some reason, I've scribbled a big blotch of yellow on the white box on which I place my monitor. I have a white box on which my monitor is sitting on top of to bring it up to eye level, because my eyes are very high up and they don't work very well. So I have my monitor particularly high up. on top of an old box that used to contain cutlery. It's a little fancy little presentation box. And cutlery came in, and now it's sitting on my desk with my monitor on top of it, and it's got a little corner that's a white sticker of some kind, and I've just made a yellow mark with this marker. I'm not sure what the purpose is. Ostensibly, is that the right word? I don't know. But ostensibly, this was supposed to test whether this highlighter pen is still working. But now I've used up a lot of the highlighter pen just by doing this, so I don't know whether it's still working. Oh, it is. Look, it's still working. But if I keep testing this, see, it seems to be fading out a bit now. Yes, it's fading out a bit now, or is it that I'm not bending over, so it's just further into the light, so it looks lighter. I don't know. Suffice to say, if I keep testing this over and over again to see whether the tests have worn it out, then that's going to wear it out. So let's put a stop to that. Let's break the cycle now. Let's break the cycle of abuse with this highlighter pen before it all ends in tears. And let's get on with the fucking show.
I've always
been a great believer in the dictum.
Ask a question to which you already know the answer, because at best the answer will bore you because you already know it, and at worst the answer will irritate you because you'll get the wrong answer and the other person who tells you the answer will be convinced that they are correct and that you're incorrect. You're just going to come out of it feeling stupid or unappreciated, so don't do that. Don't do that. That's my advice. Don't do like the meatloaf song. He says he's got Meatloaf has a song that goes something 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 something, but I won't do that. I won't do that. I won't do that. Something, 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 but I won't do that. Meatloaf was great in his day. He's a bit past it now. Back Out of Hell 3 was a bit of a letdown. But no, I quite liked Back Out of Hell 2 when it came out. I remember getting it on audio cassette. I was in my first ever year in accountancy school back in around 1993. I was going to a small, now defunct accountancy school in the middle of Dublin. And I had my Sony Walkman and I had my Meatloaf Back Out of Hell 2 tape. And you'd start up and you'd go, I would do anything for love. I would do anything for love. But I won't do that. And there was a load of stuff in between as well. It went on for about 12 minutes. It was the Bohemian Rhapsody of the 1990s for people who were still into operatic rock, which wasn't really the young people's thing at the time. So it was probably a lot of old people bought it. But I was old at heart at the time, as despite only being about 18 years of age. And I was ready to buy a Meatloaf tape, I can tell you. For that short window in time, I was prepared to buy the latest Meatloaf album. There hasn't been a time since or prior to that when I would feel able to or willing to purchase the current Meatloaf album in any era. But no, that was a window. These windows move on. These windows of musical taste move on. I don't listen to music anymore. I listen to non-stop podcasts all day, all night, all day, as that song goes, all day and all of the night. Do-do, do-do. Oh, something, something, want to be with you all day, and all of the... as I was saying, I don't really listen to music nowadays, so less occasionally if I'm on the treadmill and I feel like putting on something something along the lines of Eye of the Tiger, but not Eye of the Tiger, something a bit more contemporary than that. And I put it on for a bit of speed and to get a bit of momentum into my walking. I walk up the treadmill. I put the treadmill on its maximum slope and then I walk up. I don't run. I don't believe in... I was always told in school, don't run. Especially if you're in a corridor, don't run. I can tell you, if you're not supposed to run in a corridor, then I'm sure that you can be damn sure to Christ as hell that you've no business running on a moving corridor that's sloping uphill and connected to the electrical main system. Christ, no, that's the last thing you should be doing. So no, I always walk on the treadmill. I walk at a good pace, though, and for a good amount of time. I can tell you, I'm doing very well at the moment. I'm doing very well at the moment. Instead of sitting here making podcasts all day, I'm getting some exercise. I can tell you, no offence, I'm getting more out of my exercise than I'm getting out of talking to you here. Although I will try to talk to you more here as the winter progresses. I'll do my best. Suffice to say, I'll do my best. Especially since it's going to be too cold to go out for walks now. So I'll be doing most of my exercise indoors on the moving corridor and not running. I don't run anyway. I don't want you to get the idea that I'm going around running all over the place when I go outside. I am not. I'm walking at a brisk pace like a normal human being. If you want to run, go and fucking, go and run, I suppose. But go and run on a racetrack. Don't be running around town or running up a treadmill that's about 3 feet long. No, that's asking for trouble. It's a time and a place for running, I can tell you. And it's a running event. That's when it is. And it's a running event on a sealed-in racetrack where you can't knock down people who are coming along the footpath at you, or people who are walking past the treadmill and in danger of you flying off the top of us because you've misjudged the length of it. I don't know how people run on a treadmill. You get surely to Christ. If you run at the wrong speed, you can end up going over the end of the treadmill. Now, I know there is usually at the front there are handles and there's a bar across the front, so it's hard to accidentally run off the front end, but surely if you think you imagine that you're coming up to a corner, because most people who run will be running around a racetrack which curves all the way around, or they'll be running along a natural roadway which is bound to have bends in it. So to ask them to run in a straight line for half an hour, that's just asking for trouble, because your instinct is going to be at some point to turn left or right. And when you do that on a treadmill, well, on mine, if you turn left, you're going to go slamming into the wall. And if you go right, you're going to fall off onto the dining room table. And while you're at it, you'll knock my iPad off its stand and it'll go smashing down to the ground. And tell you, once there's no iPad there on the treadmill, there's no more me using the treadmill, I can tell you, because I'm sure as hell not going to be on it without entertainment. Not that me running accidentally over the dining room table wouldn't be entertaining, but it wouldn't to me, and the entertainment would end there, and therefore so would my treadmill use. So let's just keep it to walking uphill at a fast pace, shall we? And let's not lose the run of ourselves, so to speak. Anyway, good morning.